Welcome to the Dope Black Woman podcast, the podcast where we share stories of Black excellence as part of our safe digital sisterhood. I'm Leanne Levos.
I'm Rashan, but you can call me Shan.
I'm Livs.
This week, we'll be talking about religion and spirituality. So religion tends to be a big part of some people's lives, and to other people it doesn't mean anything at all, and for others it sits somewhere in the middle. So this week we're talking about, as Black women, how religion and spirituality fits into our lives, really. So for you guys, how much does religion play a part in your life?
I don't know. It's an interesting thing, actually. So I was raised religious. My dad was a Methodist, and so we went to church every Sunday. I did the whole shebang. I was baptized, went to nursery school, confirmed, etc., etc. And my mom, who was less religious and more kind of spiritual, like she just drew from different religions. So she was raised Hindu, but then also took on elements of Christianity. And she always just felt like religion, regardless of what religion you're dealing with, the tenets are kind of the same. Mm. Like the core values, whatever religion you're in, will always be the same.
Yeah.
And so I feel like even though I'm not religious now, my moral compass is very much
led by that.
Led by that, 100%. Mm. That's kind of my, but I guess I would call myself a Christian, but I just don't know if I'd call myself a practicing Christian. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I think that has a lot to do with like how society makes us believe that Christians should act or be.
Mm.
And I think that's the whole, something I'll get onto in a minute, but I think that's actually the problem in general with religion. So like I would say I'm a Christian, but it took me quite a long time to be able to say like actively I'm a Christian.
Mm.
I'd put it on forms and I would, if someone asked me, oh, are you a Christian? I'd be like, I'm a follower of Christ. And I'd be like, so you're a Christian? I'd be like, okay. But it wasn't because like I was ashamed of saying that, but it was because when you think of what a Christian is, you have, a lot of people have these narratives or these stereotypes in your head of this holier as thou person. They don't listen to secular music. Mm. They don't do this. They don't do this. And these things are all great for those people. But as I always say every podcast, mind your own. Because actually, to me, what religion is about, it's about faith and it's about developing a relationship with God, between you and God. Not you, your mum, your sister, your dad, your uncle. Just you and God. So as long as you and God know what it is, that's what it is. And I think like a lot of people, they stay away, they avoid Christianity or they avoid faith because they're avoiding what society makes them believe Christianity is. But this is my own experience. But when you actually give it a try, you'll realise it's like one of the best experiences ever. But if you have a negative perception of it, you might not want to give it a try. And that's what I had. So like, I grew up, my family's Seventh-day Adventist. Well, like my mum who raised me is Seventh-day Adventist.
I didn't know that.
So we went to church on Saturdays. And then with that, I used to play netball at a high level. And there was a time where I had to stop playing netball to attend church. So obviously as a child, I'm going to resent the idea of being a Christian or faith because the thing that I love doing, I can't do. So all my I used to play for Crystal Palace and all my friends that played were able to still go on and play and I couldn't play because I had to go to this thing called church. And at that time, I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't give any toss about going to this place that I was told I had to go to. So it felt like a chore. So if you're growing up in an environment where going to church is something you don't want to do, or you feel excluded when you're there, which was like me. So I went there. I didn't, when they would talk about scriptures or how many chapters or whatever they do in Bible study for kids, all these questions, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I would go to Bible study and sit there and they would come to me. And luckily my auntie used to teach it and she would know, don't ask me any questions. I didn't know anything. So like if I'm going to church repeatedly and I'm in an environment where I feel excluded, it's going to make me feel disconnected. So with me, the only way I became active in a relationship with God or came to a part to be like, I'm going to be a Christian, is that I was going through a really dark place. And I said to, this wasn't how I became a Christian, but this is like something that I always look back at as like a starting point. But I was in a really dark place yet. And I was like, God, if you're real, then you will make sure that tomorrow this does not happen. I'm not going to, this is my experience of a miracle. And I'm not going to lie. The thing that happened was like, it completely transformed. So that was like my first taste of it. But beyond that, it was when I just said to myself one day, I was like, I feel like there's nothing wrong with having a religion because it doesn't teach you to be anything negative. It only teaches you to be something positive. And to me, like, having religion is like the same as having morals or have or being a nice person. Like, they don't contradict, they're the same thing. So I thought, let me just give it a try and see if like what this thing's all about. And I did, I ended up here.
That's interesting that you said that, because I wonder if it's society that makes you feel that way or if it's the institutionalization of religion. So I feel like my experience is the reverse, whereas when I was younger, I was really into religion. Well, I was really into church and I enjoyed going and I enjoyed... I actually asked my parents to be confirmed or my dad to be confirmed because I wanted to commit to God so much. And I think I was like 12 at the time. I would go to church and I'd have these feelings and moments and I would cry and, you know, go to Bible study independently of anybody else forcing me. And then it was only as I got older, maybe when I got to like my teenage years, that I started to question some of the things that they were teaching. So things around like homosexuality being wrong or, you know, some of the, I guess Methodism is very conservative.
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah. So there are, you know, things about, I remember specifically, I think I was like 16 and there was a woman at my church who she started talking in tongues.
And in my church, they don't do that stuff.
Yeah, well, they don't do it in Methodism either, in Methodist church either. But I just thought the way in which they handled it was so wrong. Like, they literally carried her out of the church and they tried to pretend like it didn't happen instead of talking about it, you know?
Mm.
And then I remember there was another instance that was what I was telling Liv earlier, that I went to church and they were basically talking about homosexuality and they were like, we should just all drown them in a barrel.
Oh, but that's so problematic though. Do you know what I mean?
And that's when I started to disconnect from religion.
And I feel like that's such a reasonable way to react to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people, they're gonna have situations that seem like, how can this thing that's meant to be good and positive be so anti all of these other things?
Yeah,
and
how do you reconcile that?
And it's not actually that anti all the other things. The person who gave that message is anti that thing, because I don't have those experiences in my churches or the people that like, so like my great grand, so the nan that I always talk about, well, not beefing anymore, by the way.
Oh, good.
They're pretty much friends again. But like her mum, she's what I would call is a Christian. So if I've got questions that I want to ask, sometimes I go to her or sometimes I go to certain friends that I feel like, to me, act in the way that I would want to act of what a Christian is.
Mm.
And like, I go to her and I asked her like, what do you think about people that are gay? Like, yeah. Do you think it can be gay and Christian? And she was like, yeah, of course.
And she's an older person as
well. Yeah, and she's very proper traditional. Like, she abides the Sabbath, everything. And she was like, everyone's born into sin. That's just their sin. Now, whether they choose to accept it as sin and act in it actively or not, that's a different question. Do you get what I mean? So it's like, I feel like what with the Bible as well, what's hard is that everything's subjective.
And it's time-based as well. So like obviously, yeah. Old Testament is...
So, like, Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door at uni, yeah? And I was like, crikey, every day they're coming to my door. Then one day they came, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to invite this guy in. I had time. So he came in, he sat down, I offered him tea. I didn't drink tea, it was my friend's tea. I offered him tea, and I said, oh, like, do you... Because this guy was proper nice, but I'm just not into that, so I didn't ever engage with him. And I was like, do you understand that people find you lot really annoying? Like... this guy was.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, let me keep it real.
I said, do you understand that? Like, how irritating is it? You keep knocking on my door every week, like every weekend. And he was like, yeah, but blah 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 blah. And I'm like, I think at this point I was way earlier in my like journey of faith, and I'm still on it. I wouldn't say like I'm a model Christian at all. I'm still on the journey, and I'm still learning. But I asked him like, why do you do it? And he was like, I'm gonna show you. So he opened his Bible and he was like, oh, in the Bible it says that you should be that you should evangelize and spread the word of God. Yeah.
Right.
To me, I haven't been on this podcast now spreading the word of God.
Right. Because
to him, it's not going and knocking everyone's doors.
Yeah.
And it's like that one scripture they've taken and used it in one way, but I can take that scripture and interpret it and use it in another way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the issue with
religion
is that we have this one thing, and because it can be interpreted in so many different ways, it seems like we're all contradicting each other, but we're not. It's just life. Everyone's going to have an opinion on something.
True.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm not religious. I didn't grow up in a religious household. My parents aren't religious. So, like, going to church wasn't, like, a part of my childhood. So I think that already is, like, a different way of growing up than if you grew up in a religious household. And I think in my teens, I would say I was a lot more... I guess, ignorant in terms of, like, I saw things as very black and white. I used to think, like, religion was really oppressive and it was really backwards and it was, like, causing all these problems around the world. And I didn't really see the point of it. But like, as I've got older and I've kind of opened my mind more, I kind of have seen, like you said, that it's very subjective. And like, usually it's not religion that's the problem, it's people that the problem. Because like, around the world, people use religion, faith, God as an excuse for genocide, excuse for war. And like, it's so the opposite of what the Bible or what the Quran is actually supposed to teach. And I think that is, it's really upsetting, I guess, that people have their own agendas, but they want to attach it to faith almost as an excuse. Like, oh, I'm doing this because of God. And it's like, no, you're doing it because you want land.
Because you're an idiot.
And money and other things. Do you know what I mean? Or you want to be in power. And being in a relationship has also challenged those views as well.
Is Josh religious?
Yeah, so Josh is religious and he's also grown up in a traditional, like, Nigerian Christian household where, like, there are, like, scriptures on his wall, in his living room and, like, his parents will pray before a meal. So, like, religion has always been a part of his household. And, like, when you're in a partnership with someone, you can't...
avoid it.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. And, like... when we both got together, at first, I was like, I don't want to talk about religion because you have your views, I have mine. Like, we're never going to meet eye to eye. And he was like, that's not very progressive. Like, we're never going to get anywhere. And, like, over time, I definitely became more open. So, like, even though I'm not religious, sometimes I go to church now with him and his family. And before, I thought that was really offensive because to me... it was like someone who's not religious stepping into a safe space.
But you see, for me, looking in, I would say that's God using Josh to guide you to him. So, like, we can't predict the future. But if 10 years' time, you was like, oh, I go to church now regularly, or I'm actually a Christian now, I wouldn't be surprised, because I can tell you that from my own journey, throughout every single primary school, secondary school, college, uni, I always had that one person that was really close to me that had a really strong faith. So even when I was at college, it wasn't when I was in college, but I used to work like crazy hours, and the girl that I always had shifts with, she was a proper like devoted Christian. So I've always had that person that when I could just pick their brains and ask them questions, and then the things that I maybe wanted to challenge in the Bible, I challenged to them, rather than feeling I wouldn't feel confident to go to a pastor.
And I also
feel like it's problematic because they've got their own agendas depending on what denomination they're in and all of these factors. Do you know what I mean? But like, going to them allowed me to be, like, create my own understanding, simplified, safe space as a friend. And I feel like, to me, I'm not pushing it on you. I'm just saying that's what it seems like, because it is all baby steps. Like, as much as I can watch sermons all day long, I can listen to gospel. I listen to gospel when I'm going out, like, for pre-drinks. I listen to gospel. My friends are like, Shine, you can't do it. And I'm like, but I can, because I love God. Do you love God?
I love vodka. Do you love vodka?
No, but it's like, I wasn't like that before. And the only reason why I started...
you kind of made a way to make it work for you.
Yeah, but there's things that will come along your journey that will, if it's meant to be that, I'm not saying it is that, that will steer you into that. So like, my cousin, I was on the bus with her, and she was playing some song, and I was like, "Raw, what song is this? It sounded like an R&B track." She was like, "Oh, it's this Mary Mary or whatever it was. It's like, it's this gospel track." I said, "This is gospel." I said, "Pull it up." And I was proper young then. And then from that day, I started exploring that artist, then this artist, then that artist. And now I might as well be a gospel DJ, my brother. Like, do you get what I mean?
But
Anyway, not sorry to interrupt, but I just felt like God didn't need to tell you that.
But I suppose the other important thing that, and I suppose our generation is better at this, but like, and you mentioned this in the beginning, that like, Christian equals automatically good person.
Right.
Atheist equals automatically a bad person. And I think like, our generation is getting better at understanding that like, that. Those lines are very blurred. And like, it's more about who are you as a person? What is your own moral compass? And then what are your beliefs on top of that? Rather than... I go to church, therefore...
I'm holier than thou. And I really hate people like that. Like, can I just make an announcement? You, man, dickheads.
But how far do you go in terms of how much you navigate kind of shifting the content of what religion is supposed to be? Because there's a distinction to be made between spirituality and religion, right? And I think as... younger generations begin to take up religion, you see certain changes which are doing away with, and religion should evolve like everything else. But then there's this whole thing about, you know, if you're a Christian, can you fornicate and still be a Christian? And I know everybody's on their certain path, or even when it comes to music, because you were talking about being a Christian DJ and this, whatever. And
music is a big thing.
Yes.
The only reason why I'm not baptized is actually because of my love for music. And I haven't, on my journey,
gotten to that
had
place.
My own decision of how I view a Christian and secular music. Do you understand what I mean? So I haven't got my own understanding of the relationship between Christian and secular music, because I see people who I think are Christians still listen to it, but then I also see other people
who
don't. So like that's what I'm saying, it's all about your journey, because I've got to make my decision for myself. I can't now be like, I'm not going to listen to secular music because Pastor XYZ doesn't. I've got to be like, I'm not going to listen to it because in the Bible I've seen this, or I believe God's told me XYZ. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I'm wondering, we had a discussion a few weeks ago. I think I was having a discussion with one of the Dope Black Dads a few weeks ago about Kanye West.
Mm.
And obviously he's put out a gospel album, in quotations. And then now he has Sunday Service, which has a whole album. So the Kanye's album, which is called Jesus is King. Is it called?
I think it is that.
Is that what it's called? Jesus
I think
is King.
So, yeah.
Is him, and then the Sunday Service Choir has their own album, which sings traditional hymns, whereas his stuff is like his music that he's made talking about his personal relationship with God. And I wonder how like fundamental Christians feel about that, because I think it's a great album. I don't know if I would call it a gospel album, but he's certainly talking about his journey. But some people are like, a lot of Christians more specifically are giving him a lot of flack for it, because they're like, you're actually ruining
Twitter. Yeah,
but I think that's religion. Because Kanye West is such a divisive character.
Is he not able to reform and to find God like everybody else is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think like it's literally because it's Kanye West.
Yeah,
because like him,
like because of who he is before that, it's cloud on what he's actually doing.
Because like Kanye West as an artist has like always been a Christian. Like Jesus Walks was like one of his first singles, but like then he went all kind of left and like supported Trump and stuff, and like I feel like a lot of people felt like he couldn't come back from that, and people saw the way he was supporting Trump and saying things that were like really problematic, and then you release a gospel or Christian album. I think like a lot of people just weren't buying it.
Yeah,
I feel like if it was someone else, we wouldn't really be having this conversation.
Just as a means of comparison, because I feel like Trump, a lot of Trump supporters are Christians. Maybe not black Trump supporters,
yeah,
but
the
a lot of white Trump supporters.
No, even black ones.
Christians.
Like you see those black conservatives.
Yeah, that's very true.
That are Christians and follow the same narratives as the white ones.
But then we have somebody just like in dancehall who is Lady Saw, who's like the most raunchiest dancehall artist alive, who's now a practicing Christian. She's a deacon, I'm pretty sure. Like they've ordained her as so
get you a girl that can do both.
So is it something that you think, I'm just wondering, is religion something that should evolve, or is it something that we should be maintaining the basic tenets? So like, for instance, you were saying that you don't go to church, you only listen to sermons online. But one of the basic tenets of religion is fellowship, right?
100%.
And then how do you navigate all of those things?
But like going back to what I said before about like being on my, I'm on a journey. So like for me, and also what I said earlier, when I went to church, I didn't really feel like that was somewhere that I fit in. And I think a lot of the way I view church is to do with like society and stigma. So for me, I kind of felt like, oh, if I don't have my Bible and I can't just flip to James or Matthew, I'll be there like, they finished the verse, you know, and I'm still trying to find it. So like those sort of environments or situations that I was in, whilst some people that really sworn, they're like, who would even let that bother them? To me, they really did. So I just stopped, avoided going to church. And then for me as well, I feel like sometimes, this is a problem I think with churches and why a lot of people leave it, pastors preach as if the people that are listening are all on the same level of their walk and relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So if you're preaching at a level of someone who like is up here and I'm down here, how on earth am I going to understand the message?
Yeah.
So for me, I found a pastor online who preaches the message that's really digestible, and it's like also quite humorous as well. But the way he tells his message is that, like, whether you're so, like, for example, Liv's, on if you talk about the spectrum, where she doesn't have a faith necessarily, but she attends church occasionally, yeah?
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
So let's say with Liv's, if she was to listen, watch the sermon with me, I don't doubt for a second she wouldn't be engaged, because it's not, you don't have to listen to it because you're a Christian. He's telling you
it's
a message.
Life message.
You get what I mean?
Yeah.
But throughout it, he does so many different verses and scriptures, but because he's so good at storytelling, you completely bypass that. So I've got like so like engrossed in like this guy's preaching, And then there was a sermon he did. At the end of it, I felt mad triggered because they were like, it's really good if you watch this online all the time, but have you got your B group? Have you got a group of people that you attend that you fellowship with? I don't necessarily have that. So that's something I know for this year that I need to work on. Because if I'm trying to build a relationship with God and become stronger in my faith, then that's something that I need to do.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it because I want to do it, not because I feel like I have to go to church. Because actually, when I've listened to that sermon, I understand the importance of it.
It's compelled you to.
But in the same way, I feel like I've got other ways of doing it. Like, I've got friends who are Christian.
Mm.
Like, I've got a friend called Angel, who I always refer to as my sister through Christ. Mm. And whenever I've got issues, I go to her. But if I feel like I need to pray about something, I'll go to her. Mm. Like, she'll be like, Shan, pray for me about this, and I'll do that to her. I might not have spoken to her in a month, but I'll be like, I beg you, pray for this and that, and she'll be like, cool. Like, so to me, that is like a B group, just one person.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
I definitely have a few prayer warriors that I call upon whenever I feel like I need some guidance, but I definitely don't think that I will be interested in returning to church anytime soon. It's so funny because I feel like Liv's probably goes to church more than all of us combined.
No, do you know what? Like, okay, I haven't been to church that... Well, I guess if you two are saying it's not really something you do, then yeah, probably. This is the Dope Black Women Podcast.
Do you have any, like, have you ever had any bad experiences going to church with Josh? Or felt uncomfortable because of the message or anything
like that? I felt really, really uncomfortable at first. Like, so the first time he invited me, I was like, not today, no ma'am, no ma'am. Because I just thought, like, I was going to step in and be instantly attacked.
Yeah.
And just be like, you know, oh, you don't believe in God, why are you here? Like, or like, you know, what are you doing wrong in your life? And it wasn't like that at all. To me, I got the sense it was more about community.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And like, as Rashan said, it was more about those overriding messages that got through to me about, like the pastor that was at Josh's church, a lot of what he talks about is about just being your best self and about self-growth and about being kind to one another and about finding your potential. And all of those things I can apply to my life outside of religion.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying a minute ago about when you have really good pastors. So you can go there and take and understand the message and take something from it without having to be like, I'm going to now write down all these Bible verses.
Yeah. And I've never felt like attacked. I've never felt like it was a thing where I was being like brainwashed or I was being like put into this cult. Like, and I always felt like I could leave at any point if I wanted to. I mean, there's been a couple things that rubbed me the wrong way. Like you said, the thing about homosexuality is definitely something, particularly within Black churches, that can just be this like thin line.
The tightrope.
You have to walk the tightrope on, especially in Black churches.
Like, but I feel like that is, again, a lot to do about the person who's delivering the message.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take church out of it and just focus on the black community,
that's a problem.
That stigma's not going to be there. Yeah. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
If not worse.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you haven't got God in your life. Do you know what I mean? Like,
so you're not even trying to be humble and Christian.
Do you get what I mean?
Like,
this is what I mean. Like,
it's say it with your chest.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a bit mad. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Do you feel like you... Because Josh and Liv's... I feel like we talk about Josh all the time now.
He should come on the podcast.
I know, it's so true.
Do you know he's in Dope Black Men?
Oh, is he?
He
That's
went
amazing.
To the meetup.
Oh, bless great.
Him. Ciao, Josh.
Big up Dope Black Men. They just started this month. If there are any men who are interested in becoming part of the movement, just hit up Dope Black Men on social media, but that's beyond the point. Because you guys have kind of found a middle ground between you not being religious and him being more religious.
I think that's really important.
Yeah.
What about
the deal breaker for
me. I was gonna say, if you met Josh and he was a Muslim, or if you met Shan and you met somebody who was Hindu, who was a Hindu, how would that matter? Like, would it be a conversation about, or is it a conversation for you guys about how you're gonna raise your kids, that kind of
thing?
We've
talked about that part in terms of just dating and being in a relationship.
Yeah.
Because I'm the one that's not religious.
Mm.
What religion you are doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I don't have stuff to compromise here.
But
you
he
do.
Might be asking you, to compromise stuff because he is religious.
Because he's Muslim, he might tell you to wear hijab.
Yeah. Or tell you that you need to pray 5 times a day. Or...
Well, that's a bit mad. It just doesn't fit my lifestyle.
Yeah.
But he's never put pressure on me to act a certain way or be a certain way because I feel like we're not that different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the way he acts, the way his morals are not that different from mine.
Mm.
The thing about raising children is obviously a bit more complicated. And where it stands at the moment is that when we have children, he wants them to be open to the idea of going to church and open to the idea of Christianity, but also it won't be something that we like force down their throats. It'll be something that they will be allowed to keep an open mind about. It's not something we'll force them to do. It's something that if they have shown a genuine interest, then we will appreciate that interest and support that interest. Right. So it won't be like a push and pull. It'll just be like a, we'll see how it goes when we get there kind of thing. But we're both approaching it with open minds. And I think that's the best possible solution.
Yeah, it's a good middle ground.
Yeah, because, you know, if it really was a thing for him, then we wouldn't be together. Mm. Do you know what I mean? I can't speak for other couples. I can only speak for my relationship. Mm.
You look at me. You are.
Yeah, no. So like for you, if you were to meet a guy that wasn't Christian, but everything about else about him was like tick, 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 tick.
Yeah, and not just a different denomination, like a religion that has or a lot religious. Of different tenets to yours. No, because not
so
being
so
religious.
So not Islamic then, because to me... this is really hard. I think about it a lot. I always battle between, would I rather be with someone? Because to me, that...
But bear in mind, they're a fundamental Christian, so they follow it to the T.
I feel like there's so many layers. Sorry. There's so many layers to this, yeah? So part of it is that, like, I feel like a man who thinks he's the head of the house and doesn't understand that God's above him, in relationship with me, is not going to work. And also, I think that the way I deal with a lot of things is through prayer. So, like... If we're going through like a really rocky situation or problem, and I can't be like, let's pray together, it's just long, isn't it? Because when you're turning to alcohol and weed, and I'm turning to God and sermons, like there's going to be a divide, and there's going to be a lack of understanding, and there's going to be a lot of problems that arise. And I've seen it several times in real life situations, relationships that I've seen growing up or whatever, and I feel like there's a lot of problems that could have been avoided had you just been with someone that had that same mindset. 100%. It's the same with being with someone with the same mindset as you. Like, if I'm ambitious and you're not, there's going to be a problem.
True.
So if the way I deal with trauma is by finding comfort and power in prayer and you don't, there's going to be a problem. But then I also think that's like one layer, but then I also think at the same time that you can be with someone who's a Christian or just like me, who's an absolute moron, like who's not a nice person.
True.
Who actually beats you up, who actually
For a second
you.
I thought you said, like me, a moron. And I was thinking, oh, why no, no, no.
Like who's not a nice person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like with the situation, this isn't something that I can look at in a black and white thing. It will depend very much on the person.
Yeah.
And how they carry themselves.
And how they are. So, like, but I do think in most cases, it would have to be probably someone who's Christian or... Muslim,
right?
Because I feel like on the knowledge that I know of those two religions, there's a really easy crossover.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like all the other ones, I don't have enough knowledge about them to make comment about how easy or not easy it would be. But I would assume from what I do know, they would be a lot more harder for me to navigate. And also, I think the importance, of when you're talking about raising children. Well, what happens then?
Funny that you said that, because when it comes to religion with my parents, obviously they came from the exact same different backgrounds that we just spoke of. So my dad was a Christian and my mom was a Hindu. And I would say that my mom definitely, even though she was less religious, she definitely held on to her Hinduism as a means of holding on to our culture in a space where, you know, her culture wasn't necessarily the predominant one.
Is this in Jamaica?
Yeah, so this is Jamaica.
And my mom's Indian.
Yeah,
she's Sri Lankan.
So that's already a culture clash.
So not only was she adopting a different culture, but she was also, or trying to fit into a new culture, but she was also using Hinduism as a way of kind of holding on to our culture. And so even when we were growing up, my dad was adamant that we became Christians, and he didn't want us to speak Tamil in the house. Even though he, as Shan pointed out, you can marry somebody who's a Christian and they still display very problematic behaviors, which my dad did, like cheating, for instance. Infidelity was a huge problem in a relationship. And I think that, you know, my dad didn't want us to speak Tamil. He was very opposed to my mom carrying out any like Hindu rituals or having any kind of false idols in the house, that kind of thing. And my mom found her own way to maintain that. So she definitely carried out like blessings. And when we went to Sri Lanka, she took us to temples and stuff like that. And anytime there was an opportunity to take us to temples, she did. But in terms of...
And is that something your dad would then get angry about?
Yeah, yeah. Or mock her about. Mm-hmm. It was a problem. And I think it is something that you really have to consider. So now when I think about, even though I'm not particularly religious, when I think about how I want to raise my kids, it's kind of similar to how to you and and Josh. Like, I just want to expose them to everything. Mm. And then when they're at an age where they can figure it out for themselves, they'll say, actually, I'm not religious, or this is the religion that I want to become, yeah, or
even,
I want
even
to follow.
I have that same approach. Yeah. I just feel like there's a lot of people, you see it a lot. I remember when I used to go to church, and they would be like, oh, look, like they'll make comments like, where's the young people today? Or I'd go to like other churches, they had like loads and loads of young people, and then they would leave and then they'd come back. And I feel like a lot of that is to do with the pressures of being forced to have to go to church and be in these environments. Whereas if you just grow your child up
to be have a good values, person, yeah,
and those good values might come from the faith you have rather than it shoving it in their necks, then it would just be a like, it'll just be fine. So, for example, in a lot of Christian households, you will, as you said, pray before mm-hmm. they eat, or bless the food is what I would call it, but it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or do grace. That's the same as showing gratitude. So for someone who's spiritual and they believe in law of attraction, all these sorts of things.
Maybe. Yeah, or you just say thanks everybody for a toast. Yeah, exactly.
It's the exact same thing. And and that's why I think it's interesting, because I've got a friend who would say that she's a spiritualist. And I know that the reason why she would never consider religion is because the people, so she's got quite a few aunties that are like meant to be devout Christians. Mm. And the way they act is like shambolic, let's say, in her
just
words.
For reference, Rashan was doing quotation air marks.
Yeah. I'm not saying that they are, I'm just saying like, the way they are, someone would say it's shambolic. And because she grew up with that, that's changed, like, has created a perception of what Christianity is to her. And she kind of has kind of grown up with like, you're Christian but you do that sort of madness, or you're Christian but you treat people in that way. So she would say she identifies as like a spiritualist.
Yeah.
When I talk to her, and I can go to her for advice, and the same I can go to my friend Angel for advice, because the advice is going to be the same.
Yeah.
Replace the universe of God, it's the exact same advice.
Yeah.
The only thing is that Angel, which she does more recently, she might just send me a Bible verse. So rather than actually writing a paragraph, she'll be like, Shan, Mark 11:11, and I'll be like, cool. Or she'll send me like an actual paragraph with like conversation in it. But with those two examples, those two different people, their advice would be the same. It's just like one's choosing to accept whatever it is they're feeling inside as the universe, and one choosing to accept it as God. So when someone's saying to the universe, I really want this, and it's happening, that's the same way that you're meant to talk to God and trust in him that things that he's going to deliver.
Random story. I once was, I remember right after my dad's funeral, there was a pastor that I became very close to because he was friends with my dad's friends, and he kind of took a liking to me, and we ended up talking. And so we went to, I remember my girlfriend from London came, or from Birmingham came down, and we were all at brunch together. And I said to him, just kind of out of the blue, I was like, how do you justify being a pastor when Christianity was used for slavery? And he...
Oh my gosh.
Because it's funny, you were saying you would never ask a pastor those kinds of questions. And his mouth dropped. And he was like, it took him a while to like regain his composure. Mm. But he was like, well, he said the exact same thing you said, which is that it's a tool and people will use it for different reasons. But that doesn't mean that the actual thing itself is flawed. And I take that on board, and I think that's how people reconcile the distinction between religion and spirit, becoming a spiritualist, because I guess that's kind of how I would define myself, is more of a spiritualist than a practicing religious person, because I think religious refers to the institution, which is riddled with problems, like any institution is, and then spirituality is believing in the message,
and that's why they are the same thing.
Right.
Why for ages I said I'm follower of Christ, and rather than saying Christian, because I feel like I think it's probably the first time I've said it out loud that I'm a Christian. Like, because I just feel like it comes with so many other connotations. But I feel like the more you become self-assured in who you are, and the more you know like why you're on this earth and your own motives, the less that stuff matters. So like, it matters for me to call myself a Christian and all the stigmas around it if I care what people think, and I'm concerned about how they're going to respond. If I don't give a about them, then it doesn't matter, because I'm on my journey. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
But I remember, I had a friend in school. Remember I told her I had one person in each part of my life who was a Christian. And she said something like to me, like, she said, if you follow the faith of a Christian and God is real, you'll go to heaven. And if you follow the faith of a Christian and God isn't real, you'll just die a great person.
Yeah,
and like, when you look at it like that, what's the problem? What is the problem?
Well, some people would say that if you are a good person but you don't believe in God, you still go to hell.
I mean, in terms of like heaven and hell, like, and this is easy for me to say looking as an outside perspective, but I just think that like it's beyond like human understanding. Standing. Do you know what I mean? I feel like because we will never know what happens after you die, there will never be any evidence. It's like, why?
But here's the thing. Christianity does tell you what the Bible would tell you what will happen. And it's upon that basis. And I think that, again, that just goes back to the whole thing of religion versus spirituality. I think a spiritualist would acknowledge that we don't know actually what happens after life. So you just try and live the best life that you can and acknowledge that there is this greater being and this greater world outside of humanity that we just don't know about. But the Bible does specifically say there is purgatory, there's heaven, there's hell, and there are certain means and ways by which you are able to enter heaven. And that is through Christ and Christ alone. Mm. I mean, that's what the Bible will tell you. And I think that's something that is across any denomination. It's not just the person. You know what I mean? There are certain tenets that you have to abide by as a religious person. And I don't know how to reconcile people who are like New Age Christians who say you don't have to do that and more traditionalists who are like reading the Bible by the letter.
This is what the problem is. Even like STA, I got my ears pierced. You can't have piercings. Mm,
exactly.
But I go in there with all my eight piercings. No, I do. But my church is like Josh's church, as you describe. Mm. It's a community church. Like, it's actually called Hope Community Church. Mm. And like everyone there is so lovely. Most of us are related. Like, I met one of my cousins through going to this church.
Aww.
No, literally, like, I was at her house looking through the wedding book. And I was like, wait, that's my cousin. And she's like, that's my auntie. And I'm like, we're cousins! But yeah.
The other thing I was going to say, in terms of just full circling back to what you were saying about at the beginning, about, you know, should religion be constantly kind of...
Evolving.
I kind of look at it in the same way I look at feminism. Mm. So when you look at feminism in the 80s, it was man-hating, it was bra-burning, and it was like, you know, women are better than men. And now, someone like Cardi B is a feminist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's evolved so much, and it's changed so much with the times.
There is a space for men to become feminists as well.
Exactly. So I feel like religion has the capacity to do that as well.
That's a good point. Thank you. We'll see how it goes. So thanks so much for listening to the podcast, guys. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them from. On Twitter and Instagram, we're DopeBlackWoman1, and on Facebook, we are DopeBlackWoman. So we'll be back with you next week. Until then, stay blessed and unapologetically black.
All the way black.
Blackly black.
Blacktastic.
Hey!
2 hours. Like, oh, I don't care that you two talk. That's fine, no problem. And basically, we're all meant to be going to like this house, and I go to the house and they're not there. And then I call them like, "Where are you?" And they're like, "Oh, we're on the plane to Spain. We saw a good deal for £765." And I'm like, "Where was my invite?" And they're like, "Well, freeze the crowd." And then I woke up and I was so upset.